Hello, I'm Henry, and welcome back to the DMQ podcast, a show discussing enterprise messaging with IBM MQ experts, delivering insight into the vital role that message queuing plays in today's world. Today, we're discussing the power of MQ for ZOS and what's new in the latest CD release. We'll be talking about the value that ZOS delivers, empowering its customers, along with the new developments to come to ZOS and 9.3.4. With me today, I have two guests.
Hi, I'm Matt Lemming, architect for MQ for ZOS.
Hi, I'm Jacob Oswald, I'm the product manager for MQ for ZOS.
Okay, Matt, let's start with understanding what MQ for ZOS is and the value it provides for its customers. Then we'll get into some updates. So what is MQ on Z and why would a business use it?
So, you know, MQ on ZOS, kind of the clue is in the name. It's a version of MQ that runs on the ZOS operating system and on IBM System Z hardware. So in many ways, if you understand what MQ on distributed is or MQ on the cloud is, you understand what MQ on Z is, right? It's exactly the same underlying capabilities, so the ability to transfer messages between applications asynchronously and reliably. The general concepts are pretty much identical. Where it differs is the fact that we're optimized for the Z operating system and the Z hardware. So the code base, the MQ on ZOS code base, is perhaps about 20% common with what you get on distributed, and the other 80% or so is written specifically for running on ZOS. So we write in our own specific internal language that then gets optimized down into assembler. So it really kind of quite a low level thing. And then that assembler then gets compiled. So it's really, really been designed to be lightning fast on the mainframe. And to kind of go to some explanation of the sort of thing we worry about, we even think about exactly how our interactions with the cache lines on the Z chips work. So we kind of, you know, we go down to that low level. So there's a lot of experience in the team to know how to get the best out of the Z hardware. And then as, you know, as things change and as the platform continues to evolve, we're keeping up with that. So other things we do is just being part of the Z ecosystem. So for example, all of the metrics on ZOS are done via something called SMF, and we take part in that. We tie in with the ZOS security framework, which is called RACF. So we build on top of that. We don't have our own security framework like you do on distributed. We just plug straight into the operating system. In fact, the product runs as an extension of the operating system. So we really are, you know, we have all of our fingers into the way ZOS works. And we've done a lot of work over the year to make it go faster and faster as the chipset changes and as they do improvements with memory architecture and things like that. And we actually change our product based on early versions of the Z hardware that come into Hursley. We take those, we run our, and we have a lot of performance tests, our extensive performance tests against that, understand where things don't quite line up, feed that back to Poughkeepsie so that if necessary, they can actually tweak the hardware designs, but we also tweak ourselves. So we know, you know, we're designed to work as well as we can be with the latest version of the hardware. But of course, we also have to have that parity with earlier versions as well. So it's kind of, sometimes it's a tricky balance. But I guess the main thing to answer your question is MQ like you have everywhere else, but designed from the bottom up for the mainframe. And of course, the big reason for having MQ anywhere at all is you need your applications to be able to talk to each other. And there are lots and lots of core business applications running the world, literally running on the mainframe. So the applications running in Kix or CICS, if you're over in the US, that's a big integration point with MQ. So Kix applications often use MQ to communicate amongst themselves or to bring work into the mainframe. And we also do things in a similar way with IMS, which is a transaction processing / database product on ZOS. And of course, then gluing your ZOS environment into your distributed environment, whether that's on the cloud, you know, in OpenShift or Kubernetes or in containers or whatever you want. MQ is just basically running everywhere, and MQ is just another part of what everywhere means.
Okay, and you mentioned there's some of the hardware platforms that ZOS exists on, or ZOS exists on. Now, Z16 is IBM's latest in hardware offerings. It's our 2022 mainframe. Can you comment on, or can you speak to some of the advancements and computational prowess of the Z16? I know that the word mainframe is misconstrued as to being old-fashioned, but it's really not the case with Z16, right?
Well, so I think it's not the case with the Z hardware at all. So it's quite interesting. So I didn't start off in Z, and I've been at IBM for 20-something years now, so it's quite a long time. But the first 8 years I kind of did on distributed, so Linux and Windows and all that sort of stuff. And I kind of saw this mainframe stuff. I thought, that sounds interesting, an interesting challenge. And so I kind of switched over to MQ and ZOS development. And it is a really interesting environment because while it's low level, and you can get low level, but in many ways it's the same as what you get on distributed. So all of the things about paging, real storage, CPUs, it's all basically the same. It's just that a ZBox is typically bigger and faster than what you get elsewhere. And if we talk about what bigger and faster means, so a Z16 has 200, if you get a big one, you get up to 200 general processors, and all of those are clocked at about 5.2 gigahertz. So they're pretty fast chips, and you know, they can be hyperscaler. Well, they are hyperscaler. They can do dual pipelining, and backing that quite large amount of CPU capability is lots and lots of storage, RAM, real storage, as we'd say on Z. So the latest versions of hardware, you know, we're talking about 16 terabytes of installable storage if you want. So you can do a lot very, very fast with this because everything's working at close to memory speed. And Z16 kind of carried on that progression. So if you look at how the hardware's evolved, there's always been a lot of research into how the CPU caches work. Z16 was quite innovative in that space, in that it changed the hierarchy quite significantly to use the idea of shared caches. So if a given CPU wasn't using all its bit of cache, someone else would borrow it. Or when I say someone else, I mean another CPU would borrow it, which meant overall it could go faster while in its own way using less. So that is it. It was very innovative. Lots of people talked about it when the chip came out, or when they were talking about what they've done. There was a lot of interest because it's the first time anyone ever had done this sort of thing with chip design in the world. So, you know, that's a great example of innovation. The other one, which is something that MQ doesn't really exploit, is the fact that there's a coprocessor on the hardware for AI inferencing. So MQ itself doesn't do anything in the core product with AI. We're just about moving messages very, very fast. But the overlying infrastructure, so things like the Z AI Ops portfolio, uses that AI chip to make fast decisions about what's normal and what's not normal for workloads. So while we don't directly use it, we benefit with it because we partner with those with the AI Ops portfolio as well.
Okay, so let's get into some updates then for ZOS. Jacob, what are some of the new functionalities brought about by the latest MQCD release?
Yeah, so there's a couple of things I think worth highlighting in particular. I think the first one is our improvements to the MQ console, the new dashboard, overview dashboard that we've got. So this one is not just for ZOS, but sort of cross-platform as well and distributed. And really useful snapshot of what's going on in your MQ environment, what queues are, how queues are running, how queue managers are connected together. And I think really it's sort of a step forward from having a lot of very detailed knowledge about how to view stuff in MQ Explorer, for example, and actually you can get up to speed much quicker by using the MQ console. The second thing I'd highlight as well is our work on bringing the connector pack across from our MQ Advanced for ZOS VUE, which is now available also in MQ Advanced for ZOS non-VUE. So what that means is if you're a customer who has MLC workloads, and so haven't moved across to our VUE product, then you can also get access to the connector pack as part of MQ Advanced for ZOS. So lots of very similar sounding product names in there. But the key thing is there's two core functionalities in the connector pack which you get access to if you upgrade to MQ Advanced. First one is the Kafka connectors. So being able to move MQ messages in and out of Kafka. And second one is access to the Aspera protocol entitlement. So if you want to move messages across sort of higher latency, maybe lossy networks, be able to move those messages faster. Okay, and actually, so the other thing to say on the Kafka connectors, so we released those in 9.3.3 and in 9.3.4, our latest release, we will have the assured exactly once Kafka connectors as well.
Okay. So Matt, how do I go about getting Kafka connectors up and running on ZOS?
Yep, so that's a good question. It turns out it's quite easy. It's basically the same as anywhere else, you get hold of the Kafka Connect framework, which is the thing that runs the connectors. You then have a choice of where you run that. So you could run that on cloud, just like anything else. Or best performance is when you actually run it on ZOS itself. So you take the Kafka Connect framework, which is just Java, extract it onto ZOS, convert a few files, because ZOS is an Obsidic platform as opposed to UTF-8, but that's kind of a trivial thing. And then you start it like just like any other JVM, point the connectors to it, start them up, and they start pumping the data from MQ into Kafka. So largely the same as anywhere else. And this is kind of what I was saying earlier. ZOS, a lot of people look at it and go, oh, scary, it's ZOS. A lot of it is the same. It's just some of the bits around the edges. And like the, you know, once you got used to it, it is very similar. You just have to get past that initial slightly difference to appreciate that actually it's the same as everything else.
Okay, and is there anything else new in 9.3.4 for ZOS?
There's a couple of things I was going to pull out, one of which is actually new for 9.3.4. And then I was going to talk about something else that's relatively recent I'd just like to highlight again. So Jacob mentioned that we've been doing some work to provide parity between advanced for ZOS and advanced VUE for ZOS, and the names are confusing. And as part of that, you know, there's the big bits of work with the connectors and the FastBio gateway. But we also did a lot of work to do with Java connectivity. So prior to this change, if you wanted to run Java applications on the mainframe and connect them to over the network to another ZOS LPAR, you could only ever do that if you had advanced for ZOS VUE entitlement. As part of the work we did around parity between advanced and advanced VUE, we basically removed the entitlement checking in the Java connectivity capabilities. So regardless of your version of MQ for ZOS, you can have MQ for Java JMS applications running on one LPAR and have them connect to a remote MQ for ZOS queue manager running somewhere else. And what that means is it allows you to basically consolidate and simplify your topologies, where in the past you might, if you wanted to run Java and applications and have them communicating, you might have had to have two queue managers right next to the Java applications. Now you can have just one queue manager somewhere on ZOS and have your Java applications acting as little satellites communicating with it. So it's a big simplification play. You don't have to have more MQ and you don't have to set up another queue manager. Instead, you can consolidate it into a bigger queue manager just running somewhere in your MQ infrastructure. So that's the first thing I wanted to talk about. And that's new in the 9.3.4 timeframe and is backported as well to both 9.3 and 9.2. And there's an APAR for that. But the other thing I wanted to talk about kind of touches on the AI side of things. So in 9.3.3 and actually in 9.1 a bit, and some of the early stuff was in 9.3.0 as well, we did a lot of work in generating per queue statistics in that SMF capability I was talking about earlier. And what that meant is you get really fine-grained view of what's going on your critical MQ queues in a standard way for the mainframe. And that means you can take that data, which we will emit as often as you want. So we can emit it every second, and that's basically negligible from a CPU perspective. And you can take that data and feed it into your own AI tooling, or also IBM's AI tooling is coming, and then use that to understand what's normal for your system. And if it starts to deviate from normal, you can do, you know, you can do something about it. So you can interact before a slight deviation from normal becomes a really big problem in 5 minutes or 20 minutes time. So it's basically allowing you to see really, really in detail what's going on your ZOS queue manager. So I think that's quite exciting as well. And that's in 9.3.3 at the moment.
So would that pair with Kafka?
So it's, you could pair it with Kafka if you wanted, but typically what happens is MQ emits this data via SMF, and then there's a whole set of tooling infrastructure on the mainframe that allows you to extract it and then analyze it. And one thing you could potentially do is take that data and push it into Kafka in some way, so you could stream that for analysis. So yeah, you know, an analytics use case would be a reasonable thing to do with that. And that's also what some of the IBM tooling already does today. So there's a whole load of tooling that exists for working with the data on the mainframe or streaming off for analysis elsewhere, depending on what you're trying to do.
Okay, we've heard a lot about MQ on Ansible recently, which is an automation tool for the deployments of MQ. So do you have any updates on how Ansible is being used around ZOS?
Yeah, so we released some Ansible playbooks a few years ago, but we've done a lot of work recently to create some updated ones. And just to highlight what we're doing here, so we've built a number of Ansible playbooks which can issue essentially MQSC commands to run basic commands against MQ queue managers and queues. And I guess the reason we want to do that is if you're moving into a sort of higher automation environment, perhaps building out sort of CI/CD pipelines, things like that, then Ansible is a really powerful way of automating a lot of your workflow. So the playbooks that we've published now work on ZOS, but also on distributed. So if you're running both platforms, it's a really great way to improve your efficiency when you're managing these large MQ estates. The other thing to notice as well is that a lot of these commands are also available through our ZOS Cloud Broker product as well, which is separate to MQ, but is also a way of managing MQ through Red Hat OpenShift.
Okay, some very exciting new functionalities coming out of 9.3.4. And if you want to find out more about some of the features discussed, check the resources in the description. Thank you to my guests, Matt Lemming and Jacob Uzzell. In the next episode, we will hear about JSON Web Tokens for MQ in 9.3.4, so be sure to stay tuned for that, and thank you all for listening.